Well, good morning, everybody. It's 8:33 on Wednesday, October 16th, 2024. Welcome to Iowa City Hall for the Council Economic Development Committee meeting. I don't know that we need to do a roll call. Just let the record reflect that Councilor Dunn and Councilor Moe are present, and Councilor Burgess was unable to attend due to another engagement. Item two on our agenda is to consider the minutes of the August 16th, 2024 Economic Development Committee meeting.
I move approval.
Okay, and I'll second that. The only thing I'd like to point out is that the attendance record and term expiration dates are incorrect, and so I already talked with Rachel about that. We'll get that updated for the City Council approval. But other than that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, item three is the review of the fiscal year 26 funding request from the Business Development and Arts and Culture Organizations. I think we'll have...
Yeah, I'll kick it off. So I'll just, we included a staff cover memo in your agenda packet along with all the request letters and annual reports from the organization. So just some background, historically we have provided financial support to these organizations for their work that we believe aligns with the economic development work and that of what the economic development priorities that are in the City Council strategic plan. So typically those have come to the Council Economic Development Committee for your consideration and then recommendation to City Council. So in the agenda packet, you saw all of their request letters and their annual reports. And then I'll just briefly review those requests. I won't go too in depth, but in recent years, you'll see this year that the arts organizations had also submitted a joint letter, just indicating their need for increased funding support. And we have heard a need for increased funding from almost all of the organizations over the past couple of years. So we have been candid in about our budget environment with them, and Jeff will talk a little bit more about the budget specifically later. But first, I'll just kind of go through each of the organizations' requests. You're probably familiar with most of these, and hopefully we had a chance to look at their annual reports in the packet. So again, I'm not going to go into huge detail, but they're all, of course, here. So if you do have questions for them or want to hear from them, they're available to do that. So I'll start on the business development side. So the two organizations that we've historically funded, first is the Entrepreneurial Development Center. They really work with high potential businesses and assist in a number of areas, marketing, development, sales, operations. They're based out of Cedar Rapids, but serve the entire corridor. And historically, we've funded them at $25,000 a year, and this year, that's the same amount that they're requesting for FY26. The Multicultural Development Center, our funding has historically supported their Incubate program, which is a business accelerated program that specifically targets underestimated and immigrant entrepreneurs. Through that program, they provide training, business support, technical assistance grants, and microlending. Last year, we provided them $600,000 in American Rescue Plan Act funds, so that's separate from this funding, but just want to note that, and that's to help them hire staff and provide additional services and microlending programs. And then this year, historically, we've funded MDC Iowa at $25,000, and they're requesting that same amount for 26. So those are the two that we've historically funded on business development side. Moving on to arts and culture organization, first is the Englert. Of course, operates a historic venue downtown. They run many festivals and events, and then have, in recent years, increased their focus on educational outreach. Aside from our annual operating funding, some other ways that we've supported them in recent years, there was the $1 million in TIF support for the Strengthen, Grow, Evolve campaign that was in partnership with Film Scene for the Englert that helped support renovations at their theater. And for FY26, they are requesting $75,000 in funding, so that would be a $5,000 increase over what we funded them at last year. Film Scene operates a couple nonprofit cinema locations in downtown Iowa City, as well as the outdoor screen across the street at Chauncey Swan. Like the Engler, our $1 million in TIF support for that Strength and Grow Evolve campaign helped benefit them as well, which helped to preserve and renovate their downtown Ped Mall location. And then, of course, as we facilitated development of the Chauncey Building supported that project through the sale of the property and the TIF incentive, we were able to also help support Film Scene finding their new location in that, opening their new location in that as well. So for the economic development funding, they are requesting an $8,000 increase in support. So that would be a total of $40,000, which is $30,000 in operating support and then $10,000 for their Refocus Film Festival, which also begins this weekend. Riverside Theater, they operate a professional theater in downtown Iowa City. They're one of only two theaters in the state with an agreement with the Stage Managers and Performers Union. In the past, similar to the Chauncey, we also supported Riverside in finding their new home in the pedestrian mall through our TIF support of that redevelopment project. And then for economic development funding this year, they're requesting a $5,000 increase, which would bring their total to $25,000, $5,000 of which would be specifically earmarked for their free Shakespeare in the Park, which they offer at Lower City Park. Summer of the Arts, of course, operates many annual festivals and events. Our Parks and Recreation Department provides them about $10,000 in neighborhood programming funding. And then for our economic development funding, we've historically funded them at about $67,000. And they're requesting either that at a stable rate or a 5% increase to that support. City of Literature operates a lot of festivals as well. One Book, Two Book, the Iowa City Book Festival also going on right now, and then Poetry in Public, which they took over from the city a couple years ago. They are also requesting a $5,000 increase in funding, so that would bring their total to $65,000, which they have allocated out as $55,000 to support operations and $10,000 to support the Iowa City Book Festival. Then the last one is Public Space One. So Public Space One operates two locations in Iowa City. Their work largely focuses on supporting local artists in many different ways. They have not historically received funding through the Council Economic Development Committee. We have assisted them in some ways. The one would be through our university program. We helped to can purchase two historic homes on the north side and convey those to Public Space One with $116,000 in down payment assistance, kind of helping them find some permanent homes on the north side. And then their request is, they submitted a letter requesting $25,000, which will help restoration projects in their close house, and then some investment in their media arts co-op facility and the Center for Afrofuturist Studies program. So overall, on the business support side, we have the two organizations both requesting a stable funding amount of $25,000. On the arts and culture side, we have Englert requesting a $5,000 increase for a total of $75,000. Film Scene requesting a $8,000 increase for a total of $40,000. Riverside requesting $5,000 increase for a total of $25,000. Summer of the Arts is requesting an either stable or 5% increase. City of Literature is requesting $5,000 increase, and then Public Space One is submitting their request for the first time. So that's just a very quick overview. Like I said, you're welcome to ask questions of the organizations, but I'm going to let Jeff talk about the budget a little bit.
All right, thanks, Rachel. So I feel pretty lucky. I've had the honor and privilege of participating in these meetings for 12 years now, I'm extremely proud of all the partnerships. A lot of the faces have changed in the room, both up here and with the orgs. I'm really, really proud of the partnerships and thankful that we've been able to participate in those. Early on, when I was participating in these in FY 13, 14, 15, there was actually a focus of this group and of the city to try to wean some of the organizations off this funding. You might recall hearing me talking about the fiscal year 13 property tax reform. And when that property tax reform bill was passed, we had some significant budget concerns at the city. And we initially had some very open discussions about how to reduce funding and try to provide additional support through other means for some of these organizations. And thankfully, we were able to weather that fiscal year 13 property tax reform legislation without having to go through there. So there's been some difficult conversations in the past, and I think we're at a time in which we have a little bit more difficult conversation to have about our ability to continue provide this this funding. So I want to just circle back to one thing that Rachel mentioned. You know, we talk about this funding. This is general fund. I don't want to get too budget nerdy on everybody, but this is general fund dollars that are supporting these organizations. The general fund is primarily funded by property taxes. So our ability to continue to fund comes and goes with property tax revenues. The other sources that we've been able to support some of the organizations with are outside of the property tax realm. So when we talk about the use of tax increment financing or the use of ARPA and some of those other avenues, we want to continue to look for all those opportunities. I think we successfully used ARPA to lift up several of these organizations through direct and indirect, and TIF continues to be a wonderful strategy for supporting and partnering with these organizations as well. But want to just really focus in on that general fund piece, because that's critical. And when you look at the entire city budget, you may see large numbers that include capital expenditures, utility expenditures, and things like that. But we're really focused on the property tax side of things with this funding source. So In the budget, what I chose to do is not kind of rewrite some of the budget summaries, the budget issues again. I just updated council in September with a budget outlook for fiscal year 26. Fiscal year 26 is what starts in July of 2025. So I just copied and pasted from that memo. I'm happy to go into detail. I'm happy to talk to any of the organizations about the budget situation. But the short of it is as we're finally moving past the 2013 legislation, which took 10 years to implement, the state also passed 2022 property tax reform. That's going to take another 4 or 5 years to fully implement, and is going to cost the city at least $2 million in revenue that we have to make up to support our library and climate action efforts. So that compounds with just the COVID post-pandemic slowdown in building valuation growth. And the bottom line is, we are going to be entering our fourth straight budget year. So we've had three, we're going to be entering the fourth, where our revenues in the general fund are increasing 1% and our expenditures are 4%. And those expenditures are largely fixed based on collective bargaining agreements, based on employee benefits that we have little to no direct control over. So while the city's been in a strong budget position for many years, and we continue to be in a solid budget position, it's an unsustainable trend. And we cannot continue to offer the same level of services. And I'm not just talking about external partnerships, be it with arts and culture, economic development organizations, social service organizations, our own public service delivery, our core services that we deliver. We can't continue to operate at a 1% revenue, 4% expense model. And that's what we're forecasting for fiscal year 26, probably 27, and maybe 28 as well. It's the unfortunate reality. So I'm happy to go into the budget details a little bit more, but we're in for probably the toughest few years of municipal budgeting that we've had since I've been here. because of that, we haven't offered you a recommendation. Our recommendation is to wait on this, because the budget is going to be so tight this year that we're going to need all the variables to be able to assess where we're at. So in the past, we felt comfortable enough saying, this is what I think we can do. And we've always told the council we can adjust that in January or February, should you want to. But there's several variables that we don't know yet that will greatly influence our ability to fund these organizations, and again, all of the general fund funded operations. A couple of those variables, the state rollback. The rollback number is published by the state of Iowa generally at the end of October, early November. That's the percentage of residential property that people pay taxes on. And last year, we had a significant drop in that amount. That means that the taxability of your residential and your multi-residential property dropped quite a bit, which absolutely influences our revenue streams. We have to know that number this year. Another decrease in that, and we'll be in a very tough budget situation. We also don't know our final taxable valuation. We have preliminary numbers from the Iowa City Assessor, and it looks like property taxable valuation growth will be about 1% this year. So we like to get those final numbers. Those generally come in late November, early December. And then the last piece is we have all three of our employee unions we will be having collective bargaining agreement discussions with this winter as well. So we don't have wage settlements for AFSCME, police, or fire yet. Those have to be collectively bargained this winter. Staff wages and benefits make up about 70% of our general fund, roughly 65-70% of our general fund. So that's a major factor that ultimately we're going to have to know where those settle before we are comfortable on knowing what resources we'll have to fill requests like we have before us today. So I don't like to punt on these issues. I'd rather tackle them head on and kind of give everybody some certainty going forward. But without those variables known, I'd have no choice but to be very conservative in what I would offer. And it certainly wouldn't be increases. It might have to be reductions in amounts. I'm hoping that with some of those variables known, that we'll be able to more or less hold the line on our investments with these organizations going forward. And I do want to end on just kind of where I started, which is the budget reality is in no way does in no way diminish the value that I think the organizations bring to Iowa City. I think these types of investments are the cornerstone of our economic strategy, but we also have to make sure that we can deliver the core municipal services that we all signed up to ensure that the city receives, and that's going to be the challenge over the next few months. We are happy to give this committee and everybody updates as we go along. But we probably won't be settling on any numbers until early December this year. We typically would publish all of our recommendations for the budget, including the department recommendations, in mid-December, sometimes late December. And then you guys obviously will start your full budget deliberations in January as a full council. But if you want updates between now and then, we're happy to provide those, be it what the rollback number is or any of those other variables I discussed. So happy to get into the budget discussions more. I think you guys have heard a little bit of that recently, so I just left it at what's in the memo.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that bleak assessment of our tax issues. And so December is when you think you will start to come to a position where you'll be able to make a recommendation.
Yeah.
And if you were to make a recommendation now, everyone would be pretty disappointed, is I think the punchline.
That would be, yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Couple questions that I had about I guess one question about revenue. I know we continue to discuss lost as a potential revenue source. Can you talk through how that could or couldn't impact this group of people and how that could be helpful or how they might fit in?
Yeah, so LOST is an acronym for local option sales tax. Iowa City is one of the few cities in the state of Iowa that does not have a local option sales tax. That's a 1% additional sales tax on top of the 6% that you pay that goes to the state of Iowa. You may have recently seen some of the smaller communities in Johnson County pass a local option sales tax. Tiffin, Solon, Hills, I believe, University Heights, I think, just passed a local option sales tax. So really Iowa City, Coralville, and North Liberty are one of the few in the state that don't have that anymore. The amount of revenue to be generated depends on which cities are in, which cities are out. That sounds strange, but there's a revenue sharing formula for the entire kind of contiguous metro area. So if Iowa City were to do it alone and Coralville and North Liberty did not, we'd probably raise about $9 to $10 million per year. And that number could slightly grow larger should Coralville and North Liberty join because of the funding distribution relies heavily on population, and we're the most populous city in Johnson County. The city council has discretion on how to direct those funds, but it has to be approved by the voters as well. So the state law right now requires that 50% of the revenue received be directed towards property tax relief, and then the other 50% can be set by the council subject to approval by the voters of Iowa City. We have a community survey out right now on the streets, and there's some there's a question about LOST. So we are trying to probe kind of the public reception towards a local option sales tax. The last time it was considered was 2014, I believe, and it was voted down here. It was actually supported by 50% or more in Iowa City, but at the time they combined all the votes from the contiguous cities, and the Coralville and North Liberty votes brought us below the 50% threshold. So that's the last time it's been on the ballot. The last time Iowa City had it was 2009 to 2013. Post-flood, we had it for 4 years to implement some of our post-flood recovery projects. But again, that ended in 2013. So it is an option, and the council and the public would have discretion on how to spend those dollars, and supporting external organizations is a possibility.
One more question, I guess, for, and that would be, the process for this is slightly different as far as how funds are allocated from some other like social service not-for-profits. Can you just walk through like other ones? There's like an application process, but you know, for again, a lot of them have the joint application through United Way, and this is a very different process.
Yeah.
And I want to say thanks to everybody who put together wonderful reports. So we had a really, you know, we could take our time reading through all of your letters. It was very helpful. And as my understanding, you used to do presentations in the past, yeah. But going through that history, I think it'd just be helpful for me.
Yeah, so we support social service organizations as well. I'll give a few examples of grant programs, but probably the biggest one that you folks may know, what we call the Aid to Agencies program. It's about 800 or so thousand. It's a combination of federal dollars and city general fund dollars, primarily city general fund dollars, that support social service organizations in Iowa City. We utilize the United Way joint application. So the social service organizations actually apply through United Way. United Way then shares those applications with the county, with the city, and now Coralville and North Liberty as well. The intent is to make it so that the social service organizations don't have to apply to four or five different organizations with their request. It can be one application that's shared by multiple funding agencies. We then have a council-appointed committee review that. That's the Housing and Community Development Committee reviews and provides recommendations to you all that you all end up reviewing those recommendations and authorizing support. We also have a number of smaller grant programs that some of these organizations have participated in the past, Climate Action Grant Program, Racial Equity and Social Justice Grant Program. Each of those have their own kind of unique processes, but by and large, it's an application, competitive application, that's reviewed by either staff or a council-appointed committee where awards are made. Those are generally not for operational support like these. This is largely operational support and specific event support. Those other grant programs that I mentioned, with the exception of aid to agencies, which is operational, are more for a one-time project that speaks to climate action or racial equity.
Any questions?
Well,
I guess we can have public comment or we can ask specific questions. I mean, I think most of us know everybody in the room, and I also echo that we really love the work that you all do. I think we know most of you and see the value in what you do, but when we see a staff report that says, hold, wait, we don't know our financial situation, I think I take that very seriously. So it's not a reflection of how we think about the work you're doing. It's just us being fiscally responsible. Do you want to ask any questions of the specific organizations, or we can offer 3 minutes?
I think public comment's appropriate. I don't have any specific questions. I'm on the same page, though.
Is any of you guys want to, I mean, we have your reports, and we appreciate them. Any of you guys wanted to speak specifically about the recommendation to wait? invite you to come up and speak. I don't know if that's something, you guys have anything that you would want to say. I know you've been working with Rachel over there and Jeff, and you're all aware of this. I'd be happy to give you guys a chance to speak, but
Kurt Nelson with EDC. So, you know, when I founded this organization 21 years ago, the entire goal was to create an organization that every dollar invested focused on bringing new dollars and new talent to Iowa and to communities, right? Because to support everything that you do inside a community, there needs to be money coming in to do it, right? And lots of things are great to support, but without the money, you can't support it, and we're just having that discussion right now. So I would say that with us, you know, if you look at our stats, and I do this with Debbie Durham at the state on a regular basis, you know, we've invested about $17 million in what we do in overhead in 21 years, and we've returned about $5.2 billion in state impact. So that's over $300 to one. If you just look at your own community, Viewpoint, Molecular, Pear Deck, we can go down the list of all the different companies that have really helped bring new economic impact to your community, right? So whenever you're looking at budgets, the thing to look at is, well, okay, where is the revenue going to come from? You know, Iowa as a whole has lost a lot of home office businesses due to acquisitions. And then when you lose them, you lose the economic impact in a lot of ways. You lose the philanthropy, you lose the high pay salaries. So I'll just say that's the foundational level at which we work to make sure that the communities have the money they need to do the other things. Anything else?
Kurt, you're probably the one person I don't know as well in this room. Can you speak to the organizations that are located here in Iowa City? That are housed here and where, I mean, Pear Deck, in my understanding, is it's gone. Which organizations are in Iowa City?
That I work with now?
Yeah.
That we work with now?
Yeah.
Well, we work with Naftali Stromer at Oasis.
Oasis. You know, I mean,
we've been working with him on expanding his hummus business now for about 7 years. And if you know Naftali and Ofer, you know, you can chat with them. They're financial supporters of us now. So they're on our donor list. You'll see their logo on the back of the information that I gave you. So they're one that we've worked with for a long time. Right now we're actively still working with Viewpoint Molecular, which was now Perspective Therapeutics. They're now in one of your office parks out this way. They're also in Coralville. They're also building a new lab in Coralville. That's a business in the radiopharmaceutical space that came through Iowa City, you know, University of Iowa Tech, if you will. It's now, I got over $1 billion market cap on the American Stock Exchange. We have over 2,000 hours in that business. I outlined it in the letter that I gave you. I have, you know, we've worked with, you know, I gave you the list.
Yeah, no,
how many companies, but those are the kind of, that's kind of what we do. what we're working with now.
Well, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right, yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Anybody else? I mean, I don't want to belabor. You guys are all valuable. I just don't.
Yeah, we don't want to belabor things either. But John Kenyon with the City of Literature Organization. I just wanted to make two points. I mean, one, and you know this, but I wanted to say it in a public forum, is that a lot of the reasons that people come to Iowa City, either to live here, to visit here, to stay here, are represented by organizations that folks in this room work for, and you know that. But just keep in mind that this is the Economic Development Committee, and investing in our organizations is investing in the economic development of this community. You're creating reasons for people to come here, to expand the tax base, to spend money here. So I just want to make sure that we keep that in mind, because we think very high-mindedly about the arts and culture and things that we deliver, and that's all true, and it all adds to the quality of life of this community, but it also adds to the reasons why people stay here, why they invest in this community. The other point that I wanted to make is that we don't come to you every year, or particularly this year when we're asking for additional funding to face some of our challenges, looking for the city to be the sole answer to the challenges that we face. We are all working very hard to diversify our budgets, to look for ways to increase our programming, to increase the revenue that comes into our organizations. We've also, in the last few years, collectively joined as the Iowa City Downtown Arts Alliance to find ways that we can program collaboratively, communicate more effectively, look for ways that we can share costs or save costs on things. So we're looking for solutions every day on our own, and we're looking to the city to be a partner in that work. And again, we raised these issues about the challenges that we're facing now, knowing that the city faces budget constraints, and knowing that while we would love it if you all just said, sure, we'll give you all the money that you've asked for, we're realistic, but we wanted to make sure to start this conversation now for the years going forward. As Jeff had said, they're looking at budgets in FY 26, 27, 28, and forward. So are we. And we're looking for ways that we can, again, diversify our income to make sure that we can sustain our organizations. And so we want to enter into that conversation with all of you, with city staff, with the council, now for those future years, and not wait till this time next year to come back here and have this same conversation. We would love it if we could talk collaboratively over the course of this next year to see if there are ways that perhaps there are funding sources that we could collectively seek out in partnership with the city that individually we wouldn't be able to qualify for. Or maybe there are different pots of money. Maybe the Economic Development Committee's purview isn't the only place that we could look to in the city to support our organizations. So we'd just like to have that conversation. We are more than willing to come to the table and talk with you, provide information, answer questions, or what have you. But we really appreciate your consideration today. We know the task ahead of you is not easy for anyone up at the on the dais. And so thank you for the time to talk with you today.
Thank you. I think just kind of echoing things that you said before, we have a foundation in the arts in this community. And at a time, I think, when across the country, the arts and literature are under attack, I think that it continues to be prudent for us to do everything that we can to make sure that the decision that we make is informed and sustainable. I want to continue supporting these organizations. I know the impact that they have. I want to make the right decision, ultimately. So, yeah, just putting it out there, I'm also on the same page.
I also hear the message that you guys are generators, not only of making us a lovable, livable community, but generators of economic activity. And, you know, it would be a poor decision for us to give ourselves a pay cut in some ways. So did you want to talk?
Andrew Sherburn, Executive Director at Film Scene. And I think just to the points that John made and that I hear discussed up there as well, you know, I think it is important that this is an arts community and that this is an arts economy. People live here because the arts are strong. People come here to visit because the arts are strong. In fact, this weekend, as was mentioned, as Rachel mentioned, we're hosting, I just ran over, we're doing an art installation across the street. We've got our Refocus Film Festival, which has grown tremendously in just 3 years. It's a new program that Film Scene initiated just a couple years ago. And I think it reflects the overall growth of the organizations here and the arts economy that we're building here. And I do think it generates additional revenue, and I do think that the arts are a good investment. But I also wanted to just point out, I think, to the point of quality of life and our identity here in this community, the festival is also, I think, representative of so many great things about Iowa City as an arts community, an arts economy. This weekend is also Iowa City Book Festival, of course. We're working very closely with the City of Literature. We have our artist party is being hosted by Riverside Theater this weekend as part of the festival, and our opening night will be hosted at the Englert Theater, and it's currently there's no seats available. It's packed. 700 people are going to come together, many of them from out of town, but many of them, of course, who live here, to celebrate not just an incredible work of art, but a work of art that originated here in Iowa City. So opening night this year, we're hosting the film adaptation of a book, Night Bitch, written by Rachel Yoder, who lives right here in Iowa City. And I thought it would actually be appropriate to read a quote from Rachel's work that I think is pretty relevant to this discussion. So thank you to Rachel for these words, but this is a quote from Night Bitch. What should a woman fight for, given her limited resources, limited time and energy, and inspiration? What is worth fighting for? Is it art? In the grand scheme of things, it sometimes seems so pointless, even selfish, especially when a child needs a mother so immediately. I don't have any answers other than that art seems essential as mothering. In order to be a self, it is essential. And so I think as we think of this community that we are nurturing here and this economy that we are nurturing here, I think those are some wonderful words from an artist who lives right here in this community and that we'll be celebrating on Thursday night. So thank you all for supporting our arts economy, our arts community, and to continue nurturing the folks here that are doing that work. So I appreciate it.
Hi, Angie Jordan, South District resident. I'm super excited to see everybody. It makes me so happy because I love Iowa City so much. And it makes me sad to know the pressures that the state are putting. I know we can weather this. I just want to echo everything everybody's saying and then just kind of slip in a little bit about that application process and, you know, what does a woman want? The mothering, the all that stuff. I just want to make sure that folks who maybe aren't here or who are here continue to work together and collaborate with or without the money. I also think that it's important to expand the pool of who knows about this kind of money, and not even the money, just that these folks are here, that you all exist. So moving forward, if there is a pause, I think that's a great opportunity to increase awareness. And I just want to say, go Iowa City.
Well,
thanks. John Engelbrecht, Executive Director of PS1, with meeting with Rachel and Jeff and talking about the potential of throwing our hat in the ring, you know, it was such a rosy outlook. I thought that PS1 should ask for money at this time. but we've looked at this and we've been around, and mostly what I want to say is that I think we deserve to be in this conversation, and to echo kind of what Angie is saying, we want to support other ways that this funding can support the arts, and if that is looking at the city tax increase or whatever it is, I think this group that we all work together very collaboratively would look at supporting that and advocating for that. And you know, in Iowa, we don't have the arts funding that Minnesota has and that sort of thing. And they have that because groups came together and rallied across different disciplines to make that happen. And just wanted to say that our throwing our hat in the ring here is symbolic of wanting to be part of that group and come up with an idea that can generate revenue going forward. We've been fortunate to get funding from outside institutions. You know, I think we're one of the only arts groups in Iowa that's received Ruth Arts funding from Wisconsin, Visionary Arts Initiative funding from the East Coast, and Warhol funding. And this is all funding that is large amounts, you know, more than the amount we're asking for here, that we've brought to this community that's outside from the state and sponsoring artists here. So we deserve a spot at the table, and I just wanted to bring that up. Yeah. Thanks.
What?
Eric Johnson, Summer of the Arts Development Director. I just want to echo what everyone else has said, and really the only thing I'd add is that, and also I definitely want to echo recognizing the economic imperatives that are driving this discussion. I realize it's realistic. I would just hope that as we're all thinking about this, we don't invest too much in the division of arts from economic activity and the division of arts from social services. I think that access to the arts, because all of these organizations provide free access, provide free events along with paid events. Access to the arts is a social service, and access to the arts is economic development. And that's all I'd add. Thanks.
Thanks everyone for your words, and I think we share your belief that that what you do is important, and we want to support you. But I do think the responsible thing for us to do right now is wait, unfortunately, and take the staff's recommendation to you in agreement with that.
Yes,
Councilor Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to vote on a recommendation of non-action?
Well, no. It's as you say, it's because it's non-action, and I don't think that's necessary unless the city manager's office or Rachel would like to see formal action taken. No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys all for being here. The next items are just to set our next meetings. But I do think that we appreciate the work that you all do, and we do want to support you and see the value in it. We just need to wait a little longer and also be creative about generating revenue for the city. And I think the one thing that's on the table for us is lost, and that's something that I know our council has to work through, because there's a lot of things, a lot of organizations that want that money. But I see that as a big opportunity to fill some holes in our bucket right now. So. All right, so we'll move on to item number 4, which is set our reoccurring EDC meetings time quarterly. I think that Ms. Kilberg Farley sent some recommendations in an email. Did you have thoughts, Councilor Dunn, on when you wanted those?
I'm just pulling up my calendar here.
I, if it's okay with you, I was, you know, quarterly meetings, January, mm-hmm. April, July, October. Do you want to do them before or after our city council meetings, like the day before or the day after? Is that?
I think for me, the day after will typically work better if we want to put it, you know, like that.
You want to do mornings or afternoons?
Mornings.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So is that okay? We can establish when it would be, I guess, first Wednesdays at 8:30 a.m.?
Yeah, I'll check with Councilor Burgess, but okay. Generally in the morning if 8:30 doesn't work for her.
Yeah.
Okay. I think getting them scheduled, then we have to rearrange. That's having them on the planner a year ahead of time is actually good for me, I think.
Yeah.
Old business or new business? Last meeting was TIF. That's been passed by council. All right. So I think we are on to item number 6, adjournment.
So moved.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you all very much.